Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins this morning. Third Sunday after Pentecost.
And I'm in Jim's way, but I'll be out just in a moment.
While he's doing that, the announcements are in the bulletin today. I understand that maybe Karen has an announcement. You sure can.
We would like to recognize our graduates. We have a high school graduate and a couple of college graduates, so we would like to present Bibles to them. Our high school graduate is Michael Haywood, so we would like to present his Bible to Roger. He graduated from Ravenwood High School.
Roger, I said he's going to continue his schooling at
We have a couple of college graduates. The one that I have a Bible for today is Ashley Ball. I believe she graduated from MTSU. Lizzie Stout also graduated. Lizzie's in Guatemala, so we will present her Bible to her in a couple of weeks. I hope this will be at service. And she graduated from the University of Missouri, St. Louis. So I've got Ashley's Bible. I'll just hold on to it, and I'll see Debbie. So we'd like to congratulate all these graduates.
We got it. Covered.
Melanie, I understand she also graduated with honors. Congratulations. If the attendance registers have been passed out, please sign them and make note that you have attended the 8:15 session. Prayer, praise request. As stated before, we have the Camus family and Liz Stout and Sam in Guatemala. Please keep them in your prayers. Are there any others?
We have a lot of teenagers as well as Susan. She may be the only adult at camp already. Savannah is going this afternoon with another load of teenagers. And I get to be the driver unless somebody over 25 wants to step in and say they'll drive. If you value your children's life, you may want to step in and say I'll drive.
Another reason for prayer.
And so that's why I'm asking this. Would you pray for camp? And last night, we had a bunch of kids that went early to make ready for camp. And flashing across the bottom of the screen was Lincoln County. And so we were a bit concerned, but you have to trust the Lord that they're ready to go, or He'll take care of them and leave them with us a while. And that's all we could do. But pray for our senior high campers. Thursday, Carol and I and a bunch more people will be leaving for Japan. We'll be gone a week. I don't think I have much anxiety about flying over the Pacific Ocean, but I have had a bit, but I think I'm okay. And we'll be back the following Friday from the 5th, I think, to the 13th. And great preacher to come next Sunday, Reverend Don Tabor. He's retired most recently from what was then Brentwood Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Lives in the neighborhood, and he'll be here to preach next Sunday, and you'll want to come and support him. Bible school starts Monday week, and with Jennifer Thompson Treese has worked so hard and I've got a newsletter article about the teenagers, and they have been here all week and just busy as a bee, and they're so busy, and I'm so thankful for them. And so pray for Bible school. I'll stop. And
I missed this morning recognizing visitors, I believe.
We have some returnees. Vivian and Jimmy are here, and I went over to their house, going to share the grandbaby's pictures. Well, not really, but I did have them with me. And they had the grandbaby there. They have a six-month-old grandbaby. And so they're just happy as they can be, and that grandbaby showed up right after I got there, and you know I didn't get any attention after the grandbaby got there? And I didn't expect any either, okay. But I still got pictures somewhere, but I'll show them to you later, okay, of our grandbaby. And then Jim Solomon and Miss Solomon, they're on the back pew, and they've been friends a long time. Jim's one of the first people I met in Nolensville, and we're glad that he chose to worship. They chose to worship with us today.
Were there any more prayer or praise requests? I don't want to miss those if there were. Yes. Monica Cottrell, right? Okay. Yes.
I learned that Monica Massey was birthed by Haley Massey, Olivia, and Haley's daughter. She gave birth to a healthy baby boy, but then she had some blood pressure problems that have hospitalized her for the baby before the earlier than the last week. She was possibly going to get some home from practice, but yesterday, so I didn't hear that she did.
Okay. Monica Massey. Any others? We have several from the church still healing. Paul Campbell and others, please keep them in your prayers. If there's none other, then while we take this moment and bow our heads, getting ready to worship the Lord and have a lighting of the candles. I guess our song will be on the screen this morning. Nope. It's good to have help. Call to worship this morning. If you would respond. Have you known a few storms this week? Have you felt harsh winds blowing all around?
Here, a refuge of peace is ours.
Have you felt shifting sands as the years go by? Have you feared the changes that swirl?
Here, a house of faith is ours.
Have you wandered the beaches of life? Have you built on foundations that crumble?
Here, Christ, our cornerstone, is our foundation of rock-solid love.
Now, if you would, please turn to 380 in your hymn book.
Stand with me this morning as we sing this good song. Let's sing the first and the last verses, please.
Just a closer walk with Thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
That wasn't the first verse, was it? Okay, let's sing the first verse.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk.
Let's do the third verse.
When my feeble life just a closer walk with Thee. Grant me, Jesus, this life be.
Let's bow together for prayer. Lord God, as we come into Your house, we come to have a close walk this morning. But Lord, we pray that we would have a closer walk out in the world. And Lord, that we would walk in such a manner that people could see that we were walking with You and You were living through us even. Lord, as we come, we just thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. We thank You for the privilege of pouring our hearts out to You. We thank You for the privilege of Your presence with us here in this place. But when we depart and go out into the world, that You go with us. Lord, we pray for Your guidance through this hour. Help us to glorify You. We pray, Lord, that You would direct every word, every action, that it might be for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord God, we thank You for Jesus. And we pray in His name, praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And you may be seated. I just wanted to say that our song leader, Sam, and the whole Caboose family, and Liz, are in Guatemala. We mentioned that in prayer time. But just keep on praying for them. And I think there are 5 more people with them, or 6 more people with them, and they're taking medical equipment and setting it up and installing it, I guess you would say, in the clinic that Wendy Skinner is working with in Guatemala.
You would join with me in the Apostles' Creed. It's on the screen, number 716 in your hymn.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This morning comes from Psalm 19:12. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. If you would join with me in a prayer of confession. O God, our refuge, cover us now.
Forgive us for the many times we stray from your foundation and wander away from the cover of your love. Forgive us when we build our lives on beliefs that shift and on priorities that are like quicksand. Offer your saving hand that we may walk away from treacherous places and live in the safety of your love. Help us trust the foundation of your ways, and that love will survive even the stormiest waters of life. In the name of Christ, the rock of our faith, we pray.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness this morning, Matthew 7:24-25. Hear Jesus' words of promise. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. With Christ as our foundation, our sins are forgiven. We will not fail. We will not fall. Number 404, please, in your hymnal.
Let's sing the first, the third, and the fourth verse this morning. What? First, third, and fourth. Did y'all hear that? First, third, and fourth. Oh, there it is.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust earthly things, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope is and his blood supports me in the blooming flood. When all around my soul is awake, even is all I hope and say. On God's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Trust in his guidance, let us alone, all blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand,
invite Melanie and Jim and Karen, Louise and Roger and Charlie to come and assist at the table. For our words of institution, we'll use the familiar one, a familiar one, if any are unfamiliar. One I use probably most often. I haven't kept a real count, but seem like I turn to this. Matthew chapter 26, and beginning with verse 26, we have these words. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and, praising God, gave thanks and asked him to bless it to their use. And when he had broken it, he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which I ratify with agreement and is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Three verses from the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus instituted or set in motion a way to remember Him after He was gone from this earth. Remembering His broken body through the bread, and remembering His shed blood through the cup or the fruit of the vine. We believe that this is the Lord's table, and this represents His body. And this represents His blood. And we believe that it is not our table, but as I said, His table. And He invites all who trust Him as Lord and Savior to eat and drink from His table, remembering how much He loves us, remembering the great sacrifice He went through for us, and remembering His life, remembering His death, remembering His ascension and His promise to return. Of course, before that ascension, His resurrection, the center item of the Christian faith, that He died, was buried, but rose again. So as we eating and drinking this morning, and as we're meditating, let's meditate on Jesus, and especially on His resurrection and His promise to come again, to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we may be also. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for Your blessing upon these morsels of bread. Lord, we know that they are simple items of the earth, but when You give Your blessing, they become special. They become holy because we set them apart for this holy use. And Lord, we ask that that would happen right now, that Your blessing would come upon them. And as we partake, that we would be blessed. We come eating, remembering that broken body broken for us. Thank You for allowing it to happen. Thank You for loving us so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, His body broken for you. We refer to it as the cup. We refer to it as the fruit of the vine, representing the blood. Let us pray. Lord God, blood shed for the remission of sin. We remember Your blood being shed, and we reclaim that, or we claim it anew this day as we drink. Thank You for taking our sin away. Blood of Christ shed for you. Please serve the people. Eat, drink, remembering His love, God's love for you, shown through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Offertory sentence this morning, Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Let us pray.
Lord God, for what you have given us of material, we thank you. We pray for your guidance and direction that we would use them rightly. We would use them for your honor, for your glory. Lord, you have called for us to return a portion for the work of your kingdom. And we thank you for the privilege of being a part of your work, and especially in this way. And in Jesus' name, amen. Lesson this morning is Matthew 7, 21 through 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You'll turn your hymnal to 272, Thy Word. Let's sing this through one time.
thy word or God's word. When you read the Bible, do you expect it to have any effect on your life? Do you expect to make any adjustments because of what you have read in God's Word? Do you expect God's Word to assist you in living for Him, to make any difference? You know, sometimes we read and we just read for entertainment, and some people may read the Bible that way. The psalmist said, and Amy Grant had it set to music, thy word, God's word, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Do we use God's word to lighten our way? Do we become believers in Jesus, expecting or planning to adjust our life according to His teachings, or to gain His approval upon the life that He saves us from? Some questions. I trust that you have in your packet, it becomes a packet every Sunday, something in red. Red letter edition. And this is the J.B. Phillips translation. And I got it printed. And then there's a verse or two that didn't read like I thought they should, and J.B. Phillips maybe took some liberties in the translation, and one of them is about calling somebody a fool. And then I went back and did a little research on that word, and Phillips may be pretty much on track anyway. I wanted you to have this in your hand this morning. And I wanted you to have this to take home with you. And I'm going to say it now, and I'll probably say it again, this is only the beginning of words to build on. Words to build on. And that is Matthew 7:21 through 27 rather than 17. Matthew 7:21 through 27. But sometime in your life, think about this. Let me get you to thinking with me, if I may. Does sometime in your life things catch your mind and won't let go? What they do in mind? A thought will catch on, and some people talk about they had a song going through their head. They can't get rid of it. And they live with it, or it hangs with them for days sometimes. Wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking of that chorus. Or maybe not a song, maybe a scripture verse, or maybe a person that you hadn't thought about in years and years and years, and all of a sudden you think about them and they capture you. And you think about them and they won't let go. I'm guessing that you have had similar experiences to me, because I hear people talking about, I got to thinking about, and I kept on thinking about, and you can name it. Think about it this morning. What thought or praise or whatever? This week, a certain phrase caught me. Actually, I guess I started preaching, to give you a little background, I started thinking about preaching on Monday, read some scripture, and it's something I'm not mad about. No, I have years ago preached on what I was mad about, but I don't do that anymore. If I'm mad about something, I'll lay it on the shelf for a week or two, and it'll probably go away. I won't be mad about it anymore. So, okay. Don't ever think that Larry is preaching about something he's mad about. Also, don't think I'm preaching directly to you from me. It may speak directly to you, but that's God's doing, and I'm convinced of that. And I have prepared sermons for people in particular, and they would miss that Sunday every time. Every time. So, no need to do that. So I quit that. But if it hits, it's the Lord's doing. You may have needed it. And it may, and I think I said last Sunday, the sermon may speak to me. But the phrase that came to me, well, okay, didn't have anything I was mad about or any particular person I wanted to lambast. And nothing was pressing on my heart. What's the best way to get a sermon when you don't have anything that's pressing on your heart or your mind? Go to God's Word. So I went to God's Word, and the lectionary lesson, a 3-year series of lessons, supposedly you'll cover most of the subjects in the Bible or most of the main themes in the Bible in the 3-year period, etc., etc., etc. So I go to that for this Sunday. And it had this passage from Matthew 7 from the New Testament of the Gospels. And I said, I preached on that so long, so many times. I've worn that one out. They've heard that before, but I read it anyway, and I read these words of mine. And then that was in verse 24, and then I got in verse 26, and I read them again. These sayings of mine, or these words of mine, according to which version you're using. Same thing. Jesus' words or Jesus' sayings. And we also find it, if you turn over to Luke chapter 6, you'll find Luke's recording or reporting the same thing that Jesus said. These words of mine are these sayings of mine. And I couldn't shake it. So about Wednesday I said, maybe the Lord says, let's preach on it. So I got real busy and typed all this up. No, I didn't have to type every word of this. You can find it already printed. The computers are great. Good word processors, and somebody else has already done it. Anyhow, that's where this sermon came from. And it's one of those things I couldn't shake. And you understand that if you've done that. Now, let me say, I believe that Jesus had two main courses. Now, I've got a little problem with the phrase, I believe. My mother said, she didn't care what the preacher believed, she wanted to know what God said. And so every time and that has stuck with me, and I can't shake that one. So every time I say, I believe, I go back, well, what does people care? But I believe that the Bible teaches, I have discovered, put it that way, I have discovered that the New Testament teaches that Jesus had two main concerns for coming to earth. One of them was, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Or I came that you might have a full and meaningful life. Four spiritual law, Bill Bright's little booklet put it, full and meaningful. Or I came that your life might be full. Well, if you're going to serve the Lord and you want to follow Him, your life will be full, if you will allow it to happen. And then the other concern that Jesus had is that we spend eternity with Him. I came to seek and to save the lost. Lost to His kingdom, and He's going to save us from our lostness into His kingdom. And then, thinking, Paul wrote to Timothy a saying worthy that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Save us from our sin, sin that separates us from God, sin that keeps us out of heaven. If we're saved from our sin, we can get into heaven. So Jesus came, number one, to get us into heaven, to get us away from Satan, free us from Satan. Jesus came, number two, or you could whichever one comes first. You make that choice. To experience a full and meaningful life. And what He is saying here in Matthew chapter 7, and Luke chapter 6, I believe it was, 47, that He came to teach us how to have a full and meaningful life on this earth, and if we put our faith in Him for this life, certainly we can put our faith in Him for the next life, and so you really can't separate the two, can you? Or can you? When preaching on Matthew chapter 7, 24 and following, I have not gotten into the words of Jesus to my memory. I may have gotten into them more than I remember. But that he said, words that he said we could build a life on. Words that he said would withstand the storms of life. Did y'all have a storm here this morning? It rained and rained where we are. But Monday, it rained and rained here, didn't it? It washed some bad foundations away, I guess. It washed some driveways away. I came into town about 6:30 after taking a little excursion, and driveways were out in the highway. They were not driveways anymore. And we had a storm. We were familiar with storms. And I'm sure that those people in China or those people in Burma, I still call it Burma because I can't say that other word plainly, Myanmar, something like that. They had a storm, but that's the physical life. We're talking about a spiritual life here, too. Words that will withstand the storms of life. And I have merely referred to the words in red. And I remember saying, y'all go and get you a red letter edition and read those words that Jesus is saying to us that we can build our life on, and our life will not crumble when things are going difficultly. This morning, I want us to go a step further. I have printed, and already talked about it, I have printed for you 2 pages or 4 pages, however you look at it, of the words of Jesus. Attributed to Jesus, the words in Matthew 4, 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 4, 5, 6, and 7. And these are not all of his words. We know that. But it's a good start. It's a good start. And if we could get the start, maybe we'll say, well, let's see what he says in the rest of Matthew. And let's go and see what he says in Mark and in Luke. And if you don't have a red letter edition, you can just, it says, and Jesus said, or Jesus answered, etc., etc., etc. You can pick them out. We cannot cover all of these in one sermon because we only have 12 minutes to go or less. But we can hit some high points. And I want to do that this morning. The words. But please, don't say, well, that's all he mentioned. We were taught way back there that if you preach particularly to a particular point, that people in the congregation would jump this away when the point got to them, they'd jump this away and they'd leave. Say, well, he wasn't preaching to me, he was preaching to other people. And then the other problem of preaching is you're too general and you don't hit anybody, or kind of like a shotgun blast. So preachers have a difficulty getting the message that they believe that God has placed on their heart over to the people. We wonder sometimes if anybody listens. And people come trying to, well, he didn't get me this time. Others come and say he really got their toes. He busted their toes. I had a preacher friend, that was his claim to fame. I bust them toes. Well, I hope I have not busted any toes. Jesus didn't call me to do that. But anyhow, I may have hurt some. From chapter 4, we find Jesus ridding himself of Satan. Have any of you ever had to deal with Satan? Huh? You hadn't, let me know about it. We'll take a whole Sunday and let you get a personal testimony. Ridding himself of Satan. And as you read this, how Jesus ridded himself. I'm not sure I spelled ridded right or ridding himself right. Jesus quoted Scripture. And then we find in maybe Luke's account of this. It's Luke chapter 3, 2. Satan left him until a more opportune time. Satan would come back, even to Jesus. Even to Jesus, Satan would come back. If he'd come back to the Son of God, he's going to come to us. And then in 18 and 19, we find Jesus going to some disciples, calling some disciples after he had been rid of Satan until a more opportune time, and Satan would look for this continually. Follow me, and I will teach you to catch men. And that's the words of Jesus according to Matthew chapter 4. And then we get into chapter 5, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. And did Jesus preach this in one setting? Well, there's many arguments whether he did or not. Who knows? But it's all there. Still, the words of Jesus, according to the Gospel of Matthew, also Luke kind of spreads it out a little more. He talks about sitting down and talking to the disciples, as Matthew does. He began to teach them by saying, in 5 through 12, we have the Beatitudes. How to be happy. Or what kind of people are happy people. And then in 13 through 16, he talks about, you are the salt of the earth. You, Christians, are salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt is a preservative. Salt is a flavor, or gives flavor. Wow, I've tried to cut down on salt, and I just say, forget that. Die young and enjoy the good flavor while you can. Right? Gives flavor. But it preserves, too. My mother canned a lot. We'd put a spoonful of salt, pack the stuff in the jars. Sometimes it'd be cold packed, or sometimes it'd be cooked and then packed. And then put a spoonful of salt over that. Say, that much salt? Yeah, it preserved it. And then they'd cook it and kill all the bacteria of it. But you are the light of the world. You, Christians, young Christians, old Christians, middle-aged Christians, we are light. We are the light that shines for other people. Okay, salt and light. Then we go to, Jesus talks about in chapter 5, 15 through 20, Jesus and the Old Testament law. He says, I didn't come to do away with the law. Some people want to claim that Jesus came to wipe out the law. He didn't. He came to fulfill it. He came to say, you're not saved by obeying the law. You're saved by putting your faith in me, trusting in my sacrificial death and resurrection for salvation. But we don't throw the law away. It's our guide to tell us when we have done wrong. And he says, I didn't want to change a bit of it. This came to fulfill it or to explain it. And then in 21, he'd say, you have heard it said, you shall not murder. But Jesus said, don't just not kill somebody, but if you say to anyone, but I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother must stand trial. And then that goes on, anybody that calls his brother or calls somebody a fool is in danger of hell fire. And that's, I think, in verse 21. And boy, that was one I had used the word fool a time or two when I was about 10 years old against somebody. And I had misery. I want to burn in hell because I called somebody a fool. And you know, that word, I could hear that word today. And it's still. I just cringe when I hear it because somebody had pointed out that if you call anybody a fool, Jesus said, you'd burn, since you're in danger of. And so I don't even like that silly song, you fool, you crazy fool, you know. Don't even like that. I've heard it. Okay. Chapter 5, 21 and following talks about relationships. It talks about making an offering. And it said, if you bring your offering to the altar and you remember that your brother has aught against you, don't even try to make that offering until you have gone and make things right with your brother. Our relationship is not just between us and God. Jesus is teaching us between each other too. It's a vertical relationship. I get it mixed up. No. It's a vertical relationship between us and God. But it's also a relationship. The Christian life is a relationship between people, one another, loving one another. If you can't come to God and make your offering, Jesus said it, don't come and try to make your offering and make things right with God so you can get things settled with your neighbor. He says, leave the offering, don't take it back and never come back. Leave it, go make things right, and then come back and present it. He talks about settling arguments. He talks about lust. Jimmy Carter, people laughed at him because he said he had lusted in his heart. And they're still laughing about it. But he knew the Bible. He was a Sunday school teacher. He knew the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, what is it? Is it verse 27 and 28. You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that every man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So we just need to ask for forgiveness for that. That's what Jesus came to provide forgiveness. And then, talk about love for our enemies. Make friends with those that has aught against you. Go make peace with them. And then love your enemies. Chapter 6, show-offs in church. Now, sometimes people have a spirit of humbleness taken too far. Well, I don't want to be a show-off. Presbyterians always sit on the back, right? Leave the front pews, and I guess that's okay. But if you're sitting, it's good. I'm not fussing at you for that. But don't be a show-off. Some people come in and say, "Look what I give," and pour it into the offering plate. Forgiveness is essential. Need to say this, and I know it's 9 o'clock, but forgiveness is essential. Forgiveness is essential. Forgiveness is essential. And if we can't forgive those who have wronged us, or those that we feel have done wrong, Jesus says that we can't experience forgiveness. And there's another parable about that. Man had been forgiven. Then he went out and wouldn't forgive that person who owed him something. This first man had been forgiven a big debt. He went out and the man owed him just a little debt. He wouldn't forgive him. He had him thrown in jail. And the person that represented God went to him and said, "You are wrong. You will pay. And pay dearly." That's a good paraphrase of it. We must forgive. There is no other lesson in the Sermon on the Mount that we could get today. It would be forgiveness is essential. I must forgive those who have offended me or who've done wrong. I won't hold it against them because God has forgiven me of so much. And then it's trust in God alone. Trust in God alone. Common sense behind right behavior. Living, not professing. You know, we can claim, I love the Lord and want to serve Him, but if you go out and live for the devil, everybody can see that, especially God can. This is still only a beginning, but a good beginning. We must start somewhere, so I've presented. Are we following what Jesus teaches? Do we want a life that will last through the storms? Do we wonder why things fall apart? Even the storms are going to come. We're not promise no storms. But when they do come, are we able to stand? And Jesus says, if we build our life on His Word, we'll do it. We'll stand when the tough time comes. Can you say, "God, have your own way. Have your own way"? It's verse 1 and 4. It's number 371. Let's sing verse 1 and 4. And let's say, "Have your own way." These kneeling rails are here again. If you need to come and just kneel before God, I'll leave you alone. You can find me if you want to talk about it. You might say, "Lord, I want to commit my life to living by your word." Be a good time. And if anybody comes, the rest of us will just kind of depart very quietly and leave you as long as you'd like. You can stay as long as you would like. Okay? 371. Thank you. Lord God, we just pray that you'll help us to read, understand, comprehend, and then give us the strength to live your word. But we know the most important part is to put our faith in you and in Jesus Christ and that sacrifice that he made, his death, and then his resurrection. And Lord, thank you for doing that for us. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.